All right, JT Snow joins us. As I say about JT, one of the most beloved Giants, maybe the best first baseman fielding-wise they've ever had. When you go out to the ballpark and watch this guy play, it was like watching a shortstop. He made a play every night. I said, wow. JT, nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Marty.
Yeah, great to have you here. You know, someone called in last night. I want to ask you about, we talked about replay a lot last night. And someone said, you know, the replay is interesting, but what they're lacking is a soundtrack for the umpire. And it made me think of you, because the you know, everything at first base is always close. Abner Doubleday figured this thing out exactly right. 90 feet, Mr. Doubleday. Why'd you come up with that? But the sound of the glove, the ball hitting the glove, and the foot hitting the bag, that is a real sound. And I think the umpires, and maybe you even, relied on it. Is that the truth?
Well, it is, and I'll tell you this. I know a lot of people wonder if, you know, there's a tie, if the tie goes to the runner. And I can say, you know, 4 years in the minor leagues, 13 in the big leagues, 17 overall, that there's no question in my mind that there are times when I was at first base that there's definitely a tie. The ball hit my glove, and I can feel the runner's foot hit the bag. So I think in that situation, you know, one of the great things about baseball that we grew up with that I loved was it's the umpire's call. And I think if it's that close, you go with the umpire's call. I think we're in a day and age now where we all want instant feedback. We all want to be right. It's starting with our kids at the lower levels. They all want to be right. They all have an opinion. But baseball is the greatest game because there's a human element to it. And you know what? Sometimes the umpires are going to get it right, and sometimes they're going to get it wrong. And you live with it, and you go on. And that's the great thing. When we were growing up, the manager would come out and argue and throw his hat and kick some dirt and get thrown out of the game. But that's just the way the game is. And I miss that. I think we're getting technical. I can't stand the strike zone box on TV, all the replays. But there are times at first base when it's a tie. And I had an umpire tell me, I won't mention his name, he's still umpiring today in the 2002 World Series, a close play at first base. And every now and then I would give that quick release of my foot at first, kind of that cheat step. Yeah. And he came up and told me and said, hey, make sure you keep your foot on the bag a little longer. You know, a lot of people watching the game tonight, and these plays are close, and I don't want to miss any. So, you know, I have views of umpires, and I've got into run-ins with umpires, but that's part of the game, and that's why we love it.
Boy, very good. JT Snow with us. Great perspective on replay and the plays at first. But someone said they ought to include the soundtrack for replay. Now, replay's here. You know, it's out of the bottle. It's right. Not going backwards. The question of how far it will go, as you brought up with the strike zone. But would a soundtrack help on a replay in New York to hear it?
It could. I mean, that's where if you get an experienced first baseman, if I'm playing first and they're going on sound, I'm going out to get the ball and I'm taking my foot off the bag early so right. I can go out there and snatch it and get that sound of the ball in the glove before the foot on the bag. And if they're going to go directly on sound, then I'm going to tell my first baseman to cheat step all the time, to go out and come off the bag early and go get the ball. If they're, you know, but there's got to be sound and a visual. And a lot of times people watch the game and the ball, when I watch a close play at first, I watch the ball go in the first baseman's glove and I watch the recoil of the glove.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the ball goes in the glove and people think it's not in there yet. And you have to watch the ball hit the webbing and watch kind of the recoil of the glove, and that's where you need to pause it and watch. But I don't know. I think that's the great part of the game is you know, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some, and you carry on and you play, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, when I was at the University of Florida as a freshman, I was talking to the freshman baseball coach, and he said, Marty, you're going to win some, you're going to lose mm-hmm. some, and some get rained out. And so I said, all right, I think that's the principle that we're trying to get across. But interesting talking to you about this. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the Giants and just the sense of September baseball. Henry Schulman said something interesting. He said, well, if they were 10 and a half out, you'd bring up everybody and, you know, you'd be playing everyone get a rest. If you were four out, you'd be going nuts because you know you're in that race. And you've been in these kinds of races, but they're sort of in the middle, seven and a half out. So as a player, how does that affect you?
You keep grinding. You've got to think you have a chance. I played on a team with the California Angels back in 1995, and we had an 11-game lead at the start of September, and we lost it to the Mariners. And then we had a one-game playoff. So, you know, until they put the check mark by your team, you keep battling and you keep going forward. And I think that's one of the things that the Giants have always done under Brian Sabian since I got there in 97 is they never think they're out of it. And you got to battle. You got to keep playing. I know it doesn't look good right now with what the Giants have, 25 games left, and the Dodgers have about 26. But crazy things happen. You got to take it one game at a time. You got to show up to the ballpark every day. And this is the time of the year. If you're hurt, you got to play. If you're banged up, you got to play. You got to get out there and you got to give your team a chance. And I always said that it starts with the pitcher, and the pitcher's got to take the ball, and the pitcher's got to go deep into the game, and he's got to set the tone. And it's my game. It's tough in today's game because guys, you know, we'll only go 5-6 innings and they turn over the bullpen, but you got to get a guy out there starting pitch that's going to take the ball at this time of the year and go deep into the game and say, this is my game. I'm going to give us a chance to win, get some timely hits, get some guys on base. But if you're hurting, if you're banged up, you got to get out there and play, and you got to believe that you have a chance. And until you're mathematically eliminated, crazy things can happen. And you just got to believe and you got to go with it.
Boy, you know, and you've been down the stretch before. How does it feel as a ball player, though, when you're in it and you say, boy, if we could just win today or just win tomorrow? And we talk about it in the media, you know, maybe we romanticize about it. But does that translate into the clubhouse? The guys actually, boy, we just need this one today. And maybe the Dodgers will lose. We got one tomorrow. The Dodgers will lose. Are the ball players at that level where they're trying to figure that out?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that people and maybe fans don't understand is that when players say I know it's a cliche, but we're taking it one game at a time, the players really are in the clubhouse, and they're trying to figure out what we can do to win that day. And this is the time of the year where guys are – everybody's scoreboard watching. If you say you're not, then you're lying, because I was watching the scoreboard every inning when I was in a pennant chase, and you're wondering what the Dodgers are doing. You just focus on what's in front of you, and the Dodgers are in front of them, and I know it's 7.5 games, but – you really just try and win that day and do what you can. You know, maybe you give yourself up at the plate. You got to get a guy over from second. You got to get a bunt down. You got to throw a guy out on the bases. Defense and pitching are so critical at the end of the year. So it really is. You're in the clubhouse and, hey, let's just try and win today. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, we'll try and come back tomorrow and do it again. So this is a time of the year where there's guys have played a lot of games. Guys are wearing down a little bit, but you got to cinch that belt up, you know, a little tighter and go out and keep playing hard.
Well, it's great. That's the way. I'm glad you're on to talk about it from the players' perspective, because we kind of say those words and wonder if the players really feel that way. And they do. And I'm glad that you're on to talk about that. Nick Noonan the other day had quite an interesting day. He'd never played first base in the major leagues before. Brandon Belt had the flu and he was out and he couldn't play that day. They found him a mitt, not a glove, a first baseman's mitt, and they put him at first base. Can you imagine what was going through his mind at that point?
I can't. And you know, I've worked with some guys that have transferred over to first base, and the first thing they always say is, wow, there's a lot more going on over here than we thought. You know, we just thought we put the guy over here that can't move or maybe that doesn't have a good arm. But there's a lot going on over there, and you know, from pickoffs and bunt plays to relays, picking balls out of the dirt, learning to play the bag. So I can only imagine that he was racing. And I always go back. I remember when I played in spring training, and Nomar Garciaparra was with, I believe he was with the Dodgers one year, and they moved him to first base one time. And I got on first during a spring training game. He was over there, and he looked at me and he said, "You got to give me some tips. I'm so lost over here. I played shortstop my whole life." And he goes, "This is really hard over here." He goes, I forgot to run in for the cutoff. I don't know how to field a bunt play. I don't know what base to throw to. So it's hard. There's a lot more going on than people give it credit for. And that's why when you see a guy that can play the base, you know, and play first base the way it's supposed to be played, it's really a joy to watch.
Boy, the play, I love the way you threw the ball. As I say, you were like a shortstop playing first base. Would you charge the bunt really hard when the play had to go to third? Would you be one of those guys who said, hey, I know it's coming down, I'm going to get in there and I'm throwing to third base?
Absolutely. I mean, being a left-handed first baseman is so key because you can charge down, and if you have to throw to second or a third, your body is already in that position where you don't have to clear yourself. So I think any infielder has got to be aggressive. You always got to think one base ahead, but you also have to know the speed of the runner on the base. You have to know how hard the ball is bunted. And I always, Ron Wotus was our bench coach and I played, and Ron knew that I could field and throw, so he would put on the early break with me a lot. So he would let me charge down there and get in the guy's face. You don't want to charge down too hard, because if a guy bunts it hard, he's going to bunt it by you. But you always got to be thinking one base ahead. And that throw to third is pretty easy for a left-handed first baseman, and the throw to second. But, you know, you always think ahead. And the other one I love is, a man on first or first and second. If the guy pops it up and it's a straight pop-up, you can let that ball drop. Pick it up, throw behind the runner, there's a force out, and then you throw to the base ahead and get a tag out. So if you like playing, if you like playing defense, if you like thinking ahead, it's a great position to play.
Yeah, boy, the thinking man's first baseman. This is why you were so good. I know you tutor the guys in spring training. You come down every once in a while. You've worked a lot with Belt. Can Belt make that play? You're working on that, getting him in there early to make that throw to third?
He's really good. He's got a great arm, and he used to pitch when he was at the University of Texas. So I like watching him play first. I think he's one of the better ones in the National League, and he's got good feet around the bag. He's got good hands, and it's like I said, it's fun. First base is funny because when a guy just plays it, you don't really notice him. But then when a guy plays it really well and can pick balls and can cut off throws from the outfield and nail the lead runner, or come in on a bunt play, or turn that 3-6-3, it's really fun to watch. And I think that's one of the things that's underrated in the game. And a lot of the managers will tell you that, man, I came up in a good time, because when I was coming up, there was Will Clark and Mark Grace, Wally Joyner, Don Mattingly. These are all guys that I watched when I was in high school and college. And first base evolved into more of an athletic position where guys could throw, pick the ball, and save their infielders' errors. And I tell you what, I got a lot of free dinners in my career because Billy Miller and David Bell, Rich Aurelia, Jeff Kent, these guys, you know, saving them errors on the year. And it's fun. I always had fun playing defense.
You didn't name Omar in that one.
I only played with him for 1 year, and he didn't make many bad throws.
No, he didn't. Hey, it's great to have you on. One last thought for you, and just the umpiring in the strike zone. We see so much on TV about it, and you're right. The K zone, the box, and all that stuff, it's really distracting. I don't know why they have to put it up there. It just creates controversy. Do you think the umpiring is worse today on calling balls and strikes? Is it just the technology that's pointing it out? Did you have a lot of beefs with umpires when you played?
I had a few, but I think the umpires know that they're being watched every game, and I think sometimes they might be out there, they might be tight. And the worst thing you can do when you're playing a sport is to be tight and to be – no, I'm not talking about tight in the strikes. I'm just meaning about tight and not being able to let it flow and be yourself. So I think they're under scrutiny because of this whole – the box thing and the K-zone, and they're getting graded. I do think that – I noticed a difference when they started interleague play. And when they started interleague play, all the umpires started umpiring all the games. When I first came up, when I was with the Angels, the American League, you had American League umpires and National League umpires. And the umpires in each league, they knew the hitters, they knew the pitchers, and you saw the same guys. You know, it was half. So you saw the same guys all the time, and they knew what kind of hitter you were, and they knew what kind of pitcher guys were. And then when they put everybody together, and now everybody's umpiring everybody, I think that something got lost. And I think they don't know the hitters as well and the pitchers as well. They don't know if there's a beef between two teams, if a guy's been throwing at a guy, if a guy's, you know, watched a home run. They don't know all that stuff. So I thought it was much better before the interleague started, because you had National League umpires and American League umpires, and they knew their leagues. And you know, when the interleague started, something got a little lost. I also think that umpires are pretty comfortable in their job. There's no, you know, if you miss so many calls or they're graded, you're going to be sent down to AAA. They have no repercussions. So they're pretty comfortable. A lot of umpires have egos. A lot of umpires are going to stick it to guys. They like guys. They don't like guys. It's the part of the game that a good umpire, when you go to a game, you don't really notice him.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest compliment an umpire can have, calling balls and strikes. And you don't notice him. So I think they're people aren't going to the games to watch the umpiring. They're going to watch the players. And when the umpires get in the way, it kind of distracts from the game. So, yeah, but I had beefs with umpires, and I liked certain guys and didn't like certain guys, and they liked me. So it's part of the whole thing of baseball, and what makes it such a great game is the human element.
Well, hey, great to have you on. I love talking ball with you as always, and really for the fans, an entertainer extraordinaire, and that is JT Snow. And I appreciate you being on, JT, and we'll get you before the end of the season. Who knows what will happen these next 25 games. I'd love to chat with you again.
Yep, you got it, Marty. Just got to play hard and then see what happens. So
All right.
Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thank you. JT Snow, a pleasure. All right.